So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Catherine Buckler, and I've been a member of this congregation for, 15 years or so. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. For many years, I led youth through the Coming of Age program. Jesse and Leo were both one of them, two of them. Our UU process is different than, say, a confirmation or a bar mitzvah. We don't ask our youth to memorize texts and creeds and then recite and affirm them as a testament to their acceptance of the faith. Instead, we ask them to come up with their own personal creed, mostly from whole cloth. Well, not entirely. We do have our principles, our sources, and our community covenants. But I've always felt that it was quite a daunting thing we ask of our youth. Indeed, of anyone who claims to travel in this wild frontier of a religion. But despite sometimes nail-biting, last-minute moments of awaiting emails with credos, the youth always delivered. They write a credo, they plan a service, they stand in front of us and proclaim, "This is the foundation on which I stand, at least for today, as I face the practical and mythic challenges that life presents me." And we listen, clap, cry, and hug in response, proud that our youth have done such an inspiring job of articulating their beliefs. I've often heard folks say that the COE services are some of the most inspiring. The youth show us that it is possible, when given the opportunity and a bit of guidance, to articulate those things that many of us carry only intuitively in our hearts. Each year, as I thought ahead to the upcoming COA class, I'd tell myself, I should write a credo. But as I said, to do so is a daunting task, and life is busy, right? And besides, as a wise and well-seasoned adult, I know what tethers me to this life, to the universe, what guides my actions and causes me to scream at injustice and open my heart to the hurting, right? You all feel the same, I'm sure. When I heard the request from the worship committee for congregants to lead a service about living our UU values, I took this as a call to walk the walk I've led so many youth on. I told myself, write a credo. When I balked at the idea, I reassured myself that there were no right or wrong answers, that I had all the guidance I needed inside me, that I could help ask for help if I needed it, and that you lovely people would welcome whatever I shared. Surely I could do this, and if I didn't, who was I to ever ask anyone else to do so? After all, I wasn't in that oh-so-disorienting first year of high school. I know who I am. Plus, I wouldn't have to balance finding time to write a credo while attending to all that teens have on their plate, like keeping up with social media or studying for their first high school exams. I was leading the boring, predictable life of an almost 60-year-old woman. How hard could it be? And then this happened. This finger thing, right here in this sanctuary. Next thing I knew, I found myself in the hospital with a crushed tip of my finger, just as I was thinking about getting started on planning this service. As the adage goes, life is what happens when you're busy planning other things. Now, this adage isn't really a lofty enough idea for an auspicious credo such as I'd hope to write. But I mention it because in this little phrase, I could find hints to the many threads that make up the tapestry of my personal theology, like balance, faith, humor, resilience, community, forgiveness. Like a good UU, I believe that sacred texts do not have a monopoly on teaching us. We know we can find theology in anything from sappy adages to poets and sages. Walt Whitman, in Leaves of Grass, put it this way. Why should I wish to see God better than this day? I see something of God each hour of the 24, and each moment then. In the faces of men and women, I see God. And in my own face, in the glass, I find letters from God dropped in the street, and every one is signed by God's name. And I leave them there, where they are, for I know that wheresoever I go, others will punctually come forever and ever. We can find meaning anywhere we look. But to really understand things, I do need to take the time to sit still, be quiet and aware, and listen to the quiet voice that arises from within me with a message about what's important here, now, in this moment. Maybe it will be a universal truth that I'll carry with me to help answer future questions. Maybe it's a momentary truth that will get me through this now until I encounter another now that begs to be explored. Maybe it's a reminder or even a question prompting me to look at something I already know in a new way. So what's the lesson from my Frankenfinger moment? Well, it isn't that I should stop planning. In fact, personally, if I were better at planning, my flexibility would probably be more useful. I planned to do this, and here I am, despite the thought that maybe this injury would be a good enough reason to back out. No, when I contemplate this moment, it reminds me of ideas I cherish, like balance is important. For instance, I should balance my flexibility with planning to be prepared for life's bumps so that I'm not working on big things the night before they happen. Asking for help is okay, even for a helper. Thanks, everyone, who has come to my rescue these past 3 weeks. Humor helps me get through hard times. Thanks, Wendy Langster, you're not here, but thank you for keeping me in stitches on the way to the hospital and while we waited for my husband to arrive. You're never too old to have new experiences, like spending a night in the hospital. Commitments should be kept whenever possible. Okay, I'm here doing this creative thing. Communities will hold you in times of trouble. You always have, even when I wasn't sure you would. So voila. Oops, my finger. I was unsure what to say in my credo, and the universe gave me an experience to lead with. Or put another way, God dropped a letter for me right here in this sanctuary. Imagine that. Sometimes it's helpful to have an answer when people ask what religion I am. I like to say I'm a lifelong UU. My parents took our family to the Rockville Church when I was young, and my mom stayed connected there on and off until she passed away. I loved going to RE and would longingly look into the sanctuary or into the teens' classroom when I walked by, dreaming of the time when I'd be privy to the mysteries that took place there. Mystery has always beguiled me. But life happened while I was doing this dreaming, and I stopped attending church when my parents took a break from it because their marriage broke. I always planned to get back to it someday, but my flexibility got in the way of that. Finally, when my spouse Bob and I became parents, it was time to find a place for our daughter to explore the mysteries of religion and community. It was natural to think of going to a UU congregation for this, but I wondered, was I really a UU? I never really knew what that meant. So I read a little bit about it, and it really resonated with me. Yes, I was raised UU. I saw echoes of the values my parents taught me. My father and stepmother were scientists who valued curiosity, exploration, and skepticism. My mother was an activist who mostly went to church to recruit folks to write letters or to show up at a demonstration. Conversations in our family or within our community of friends were always spirited and meaningful and full of just enough diverse perspectives to make it interesting without being too contentious. So coming to UUCSS, I think, as I've said before from this space, I felt a little bit like I was coming home. I cherish the way our faith challenges us to dig deep into our own experiences, sprinkle them with the wisdom of the ages, and bake it all into some kind of individual sense of the truth about life and death. I also cherish what I learn about being part of something from being part of this intentional, self-selected collection of beings. This congregation is one of the most important places I practice my spiritual act of being human. We humans are a messy bunch. We are high maintenance. We long for and repel each other at the same time. We're full of contradiction. such as, yes, I want everyone to feel welcome. I want everyone to feel welcome here. And no, I don't want to let go even a tiny bit of that thing that is so important to me, but I've been told that maybe it feels uncomfortable to some other people. Public sharing of joys and sorrows, I'm looking at you. I love the contradictions, the invitations. I love the contradictions for the invitation they give us to clarify our understanding of things. What does my death grip on joys and sorrows tell me about myself or others or life itself? For me, this ritual of standing up in this holy space to share our joys, our sorrows, feels like such a real example of how showing vulnerability to others can help build closeness, trust, and self-acceptance. Just watch a couple of Brené Brown videos and you'll be sold on this idea. So I value having UCSS be a place where we can practice holding vulnerability with and for each other so that we can go out into the wider world and do it with and for others. Now that I know this about myself, maybe I can open my heart to a more useful conversation about how to balance the diverse needs and desires of this congregation. I know this isn't true for everyone, but I really value the tension that is inherent in these contradictions. It's what propels me forward as I try to live into my commitment to stand on the side of love. More on that later. Being a UU can also feel problematic to me. Tension can be hard to take when there's so little certainty to hold on to for grounding. Sometimes I envy the certainty that my sister's faith in Jesus and the Christian scriptures gives her. There seems to be no problem that she can't bring to it and expect some guidance. She may need to wait a while for the answers, or she may miss a letter underfoot because she's looking up ahead, but she believes that God will offer her answers. And she can talk about her questions in the language she shares with others who share her faith. This seems like a different kind of universe from the squishy, open-ended type of religion that Unitarian Universalism offers. Even saying our name is more difficult than it should be. Which brings me to the question of God. This has been the biggest challenge to my identity as a UU and frankly as a person. I believe in God. Not the God that my sister believes in, but a God of my personal understanding. And as I approach my 60th birthday, I'm almost ready to admit that publicly. Oops, I guess I just did. God has always been the most beguiling mystery for me. If I'm honest with myself, I've always believed that God exists. But having been raised by those scientists, I could never offer what I thought would be considered empirical evidence for its existence. So how could I let go of my skepticism? Would people think that I'd lost my mind, a most valuable asset to scientists and UUs, if I said I believed in God? Would I be shunned by my congregation if I stood here and said definitely that I had faith in something this controversial? It's ironic, don't you think, considering that many UUs left the religion they grew up in because that religion couldn't tolerate a different understanding or outright disbelief in God. And here I am, feeling unsure about how people will respond to the idea that I'd like us to be more welcoming to believers. If we agree that there could be many different ideas about so many things, why is it difficult for us to talk about our different understandings of the role that the unexplained or even the unexplainable plays in our own personal theologies? Why do we worry that we might offend people if we even say the word God in this holy sanctuary? I think that's a topic for a whole other sermon by someone else, but I'd like to simply say this. If I offend anyone by what I'm saying here, I'd love to talk to you about it. Hopefully, we can learn something together. See me for coffee out there at the end. Now that I've admitted to my belief in God, perhaps I should explain what I mean. Simply put, I use the word God to name the force and energy of nature that I can't see but feels real to me and that moves the universe towards greater peace and wholeness. I don't believe in God as some kind of distinct being making decisions about the course of events, listening to our prayers, answering them. I believe it just is. It runs through us, beyond us, between us. If any decisions are to be made, they are within us about whether or not to connect with this energy. As a universalist, I believe everyone has access to it. As a Unitarian, I believe that if Jesus existed, he was a man who channeled this force freely and drew others to it through his words and deeds. Many say that God is love. I believe that's one good way to put it. I love this poem by the 14th century Sufi poet Hafiz. Just sit there. Don't do a thing. Just rest. For this separation from God, from love, is the hardest work in the world. That's how I feel about God. I want to feel close to it. I want to trust it to guide me towards goodness, wholeness, peace, justice. I want to embody it, to have it fill my body so full of it that it spills out around me and washes over others. I want to feel its grace when I make mistakes and take courage from it when I need to forgive. Most of all, I want it to keep my eyes open to the brokenness of the world so that I can, by standing on the side of love, be part of the healing that needs to be done. Which brings me to my final point for today, all that brokenness. Again, a big topic for another sermon. But I do wonder, what am I to do about it? Hafiz says, don't do a thing, but I don't think he means always. We need to stop and rest when we get disconnected from that infinite well of God energy. I'm learning that the best way for me to do that is to take time every day to be still and reach out to my God. But most of the time, I do believe that I need to do something, because perhaps otherwise, God's energy is wasted. The dancer and choreographer Martha Graham said this: There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. So I look for the letters left every day and everywhere by God that help me discern what the world needs from me. I rely on the tension between my understanding of those messages and your understanding of your messages to help me refine my thinking. I rely on my connection to you to help me through unexpected delays in my plans, to keep me laughing through adversity, to remind me that I am not the center of the universe, and most of all, to help me reconnect with God when my faith fails me. Thank you, and blessed be.